All right, guys, this is another episode of Sports Card 3 and 3, a very special, I'm calling this Champions Edition. Dom Staven Sports Cards, you were on episode 8 of 3 and 3. And like I said, this is Champions Edition 3 and 3. You have completed the 3 on your want list from the original episode. So you're going to show us those 3 that you've picked up. And then we're going to look at, we're keeping it going, spinning the wheel, baby. We're going with 3 new ones you want to pick up. And we got a special gold background for the gold Champions Edition of 3 and 3. Now, I think there might have been a couple other people that texted me. Maybe Darren returned to collecting. I'm not sure how many people have completed their 3 and 3, but you're the first one that we're doing this with, Champions Edition. So welcome back, Dom.
No, it's good to be back, Adam. I'm a huge fan of the show. I love what you do on this channel, especially the series. And I don't know how everybody goes into their 3 and 3 episode, but I wanted to put 3 cards that are at the top of my want list that are relatively attainable in a shorter period of time. And I was able to find those cards over the course of 2023 at prices that I was able to pick them up at. And I'm super stoked to have them. So I think I should just get into the first one, which
before we get into these, I want to ask you, man, because I know you're, well, number one, you're in a podcast studio. You do a podcast now, right?
I am. Yeah.
I want to ask you a couple questions about the Red Sox, if that's okay. I know it's probably a sore subject, but I know you're from that area and you're a Red Sox fan. So I need to talk with you about the Red Sox for a couple minutes before we get into the cards. But tell us about the podcast, because this goes out as a podcast too. Actually, in some episodes, I get more people tuning in on a podcast than YouTube. So what are you doing with the podcast now?
Yeah, I deal with the same thing as well, actually. I host the Solo Shot Sports podcast, which has its own dedicated YouTube channel, as well as it goes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts as well. So you can listen to it audio only too, if you're into that kind of thing, where I kind of just take you around the bases with a shorter concept of baseball topics, and I throw it back down the third base line to a moment in sports history to kind of highlight the rich history of baseball as well, and not just talk about all the newsy stuff that every other baseball outlet is talking about on a weekly basis. And then I also do a podcast with another 3 and 3 guest, Jake Legends Never Die. We do our Cracking Cooperstown podcast, which isn't as frequent, but we just released an episode earlier this week, actually. And that's really fun. We kind of dive into different Hall of Fame cases, Hall of Fame voting, candidacies, and collecting Hall of Famers as well. So those are the 2 podcasts I'm a part of right now, and it's been a lot of fun to do both of them.
Awesome. So, you know, everyone knows that listens, you're a big baseball guy, big fan. Now, are you still a Red Sox fan?
I am a loyal man. Yes, okay. I am a Red Sox fan.
Oh, man, because let's just talk for a minute or two about the Red Sox organization is getting absolutely killed because they are not spending any money. The ownership is focused on LIV golf tour stuff, buying. I mean, they do not seem like they are trying to win, which Boston Red Sox, man, in that city, you can't do that. You can't do it. So what are your thoughts on what the Red Sox are up to?
No, I hear you. And I try to not be too focused on my own team with my podcast. I do cover it when they're in the news for different reasons and give my personal takes. But it's been an embarrassment of an offseason. I've called it empty throttle because they've been calling it full throttle since the early part of the offseason. And it's just clear that they don't care about anything other than the margins right now in terms of budgeting for their team. They still have one of the upper half payrolls in the major leagues because they're paying contracts of guys that aren't there anymore, as well as some contracts that aren't as favorable anymore as well. But they just refuse to add. And the biggest problem, I think, is the vision. They are kind of trying to sell right now that we aren't going to compete until these top 3 prospects in the system, Marcello Meyer, Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, come up to the major leagues. The biggest problem is none of those 3 guys pitch. And the biggest problem right now, it clear as day with Red Sox fans, Rafael Devers came out and said it, you know what we need is pitching. They need quality pitching. All they added this offseason was Lucas Giolito, who's coming off his worst season in the major leagues. And Jordan Montgomery's been sitting out there. He was in Boston almost the entire offseason with his fiance, getting ready for the season and working out. and they just refuse to sign him, even though they're $31 million under the first luxury tax threshold at the moment. So I don't know what's going to go on with the Red Sox this year. They're going to be documenting this whole season for Netflix, so it's going to add pain to this season, I think, in a lot of ways. But right now, I'm more so looking forward to other teams and other players that I like watching across the sport than I am looking forward to the Red Sox season. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in baseball, but I don't think they're going to be an exciting watch most times either.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, as a person who used to be diehard Red Sox fan, you know, I think as you get older, you lose some of it just naturally a little bit. When you're younger, you're real into it. And I certainly was. But yeah, Boston's a market where you can't take seasons off from trying to make a run. I mean, you can have a bad season, but when you're clearly like not looking to invest in the team and we'll get them next year, you know, I don't think that flies, but we'll see, because my dad and I, we always joke about the Red Sox that the owners can do whatever they want because people keep filling the stadium. People keep buying tickets and selling out Fenway Park. It'll be interesting to see what happens this year if they sell out games. And I haven't followed it. I don't know if they did last year, but it seemed like no matter what they did, they would always sell out. So as long as that keeps happening, the owners probably don't have the incentive to really care that much, I guess.
Yeah, I went to a Red Sox Tigers game in August when they were pretty much out of it at this point, and it was still pretty packed. So
yep.
People love to go to Fenway. There's a lot of casual fans. There's a lot of fans of other teams that haven't been to Fenway that want the Fenway experience. And that's what they're really selling right now, is like coming to our historic ballpark and watching our face of the franchise, Rafael Devers, who we have locked up for the next decade with whoever else we can put around him. Like, yeah. That's really the selling point right now.
Like you, though, I am excited for the season coming up because, I mean, like the Dodgers, I'm really interested to see what that team's going to look like with all those awesome players on it with Otani now. I mean, that for me is, and the Yankees with Soto. There's some major storylines that the Red Sox aren't involved with. So it's going to be a great season and really fun to watch. Just not the Red Sox, but that's okay. You know, that's all right. We'll still tune in to other games.
I'll still suffer through as many Red Sox broadcasts as I can. I'm a big radio guy, so I listen to a lot of games on the radio, and Joe Consiglione and the crew over there for Boston Red Sox, like even when the Red Sox are doing bad, they still make it entertaining, do a good job on the radio. So
yep.
I'm still going to follow them. I just don't have high hopes, and it's hard to have high hopes when they're cutting payroll after back-to-back last place finishes.
Right. All right. Well, enough of that depressing talk for us Red Sox fans. So show me the three cards that you've picked up since your appearance on, like I said, episode 8, I believe it was, of 3 and 3. Let's see them.
Yeah, I was hoping to start sneaking the cards in before we did the Red Sox talk, but yeah. It is what it is, man.
I had to talk about it.
It's going to happen. It's going to be here before we know it. Yeah. The first card that I picked up is the 1954 Topps Al Kaline rookie card. I got this one in a good 2.5 from Ryan and Steven over at Breakout Cards. And this is just an iconic rookie card from the 54 Topps set. A guy who is completely underrated in the hobby, in my opinion. The guy has 399 career home runs. If he had one more home run, he'd be in that elite class of guys with 400 plus home runs and 10 gold gloves in their career. A true two-way player. At the time, the youngest batting champion in baseball history. So he was a fantastic player. And this rookie card, for whatever reason, had been lagging behind the Ernie Banks, even in the set. Obviously, the Aaron's the big card. But I thought this was an amazing opportunity for me to get it before it gets higher. And since I bought this, the prices have continued to go up.
And by the way, that baby, what you said, it was a PSA 2.5?
Yes, sir.
And I will say that has double D centering on that baby. That's the way.
I think Dylan would approve.
That man, that thing is nicely centered there, right to left. A lot of those 54s are tough to find with that type of centering. So beautiful card, beautiful copy there. Nice work. What do we got? What's number two?
Yeah, definitely. Number two is one that I taught you about, and we actually share cards from the set now. I don't know if you brought yours, but the 1967 Topps Who Am I, Willie Mays. This is a set where
I don't have my mantle, but I oh man, look at that. Oh.
Yeah. Woo. So you could scratch the disguises off of the front with a coin or a key, and unveil who the historic figure was. There was four baseball players: Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, and Sandy Koufax, along with a lot of other historical figures, presidents, Queen Elizabeth, etc., Einstein. So these cards are really cool, and they have a question mark back with some clues. So I think they're just a really interesting set of, in my opinion, the greatest player to ever wear a baseball uniform, Willie Mays. I love that green background. I love the caricature. It's just so 60s to me.
And yours is, you know, it's funny because after you mentioned that, like you said, I had never heard of that set. So thank you for teaching me that on your original episode. And then I went out on eBay and looked for a Mantle, and I found one that I sent into PSA, and it came, I think it came back a one or whatever, because it was like half scratched off. And I, when I got it, I tried to scratch off the rest of it, but it was like set in stone. Nothing else was coming off on that one. So I just, you know, sent it in that way. And man, those cards are so cool. The scratch offs, unbelievable.
No, they are. And the ones that are unscratched, they do sell for a premium. But to me, I want to see the player underneath.
Right.
That's how I am with that.
Yeah. Yours, that looked like a really, again, a double D centered copy there too, man. Wow.
Yeah. Maybe not top to bottom, but with this set, I'm happy with the centering on my copy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
And the last one is my probably personal favorite of the three, just because it's my guy. But I got the 1971 Topps Greatest Moments, Carl Yastrzemski. It's just so sharp on the edges for a black 71 is always nice. But the backs on these cards, I know people don't care about the backs. I just love the newspaper and the fact that they're specified to the city. So this one has the Boston Globe typeface on the top, talking about him winning his Triple Crown season for the Impossible Dream Red Sox in 1967. This is such a tough test issue from Topps, early 70s. It was issued in the New York area, and these cards are not cheap, but to find one in this kind of condition for the price that I got for, I'm thrilled to own it in my Yaz PC.
You know, it's funny, just thinking of Yastrzemski. I just saw Mike Junkwax Hero did a video where, did you see, he just posted it, I think yesterday, where he picked up a ticket that was signed by Yaz from his 3000 hit game. And it's so funny because I was watching it, and just the week before I was having a conversation with my dad where I think I'm actually going to, in the next week or two, going to record me and my dad talking about some of these stories. But he was telling me a story that he's told me before. But again, he was telling me how he and my mom were at that game. They went to his 3000 hit game. And it's kind of a funny story on like how they ended up being at that game and something else involved with it. But I won't tell it here, but I'm going to do it on a future video. So it's just funny. Like, we're just talking about that, and then I see that like from his 3000 hit game, Mike's getting an autographed ticket. So it's just funny. Yeah, that's, again, when you showed me that or mentioned that card on the first episode, another one I had no idea even existed. So that's one of the best parts about this show for me, especially, it's because I learn. So it's been great.
No, definitely. I'm looking forward to those stories too. It's always great to see the people that actually had the pleasure of watching these historic moments. With Yaz, especially his 3000th hit, it took him a while. It was kind of a running joke of he doesn't want to hit 3000 because it took him quite a few days to knock that 3000th hit.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, I'll go into it when I do that video with my dad. But yeah, he was at his friend had tickets to all four games of the Yankees series. Yeah. And my dad got it was the last game of the series where he went 0 for the whole series up until then. And then, so he got lucky being there. And then, you know, he had a funny story about it too, that I'll tell. But what I wanted to also say, it was great meeting you at the National. That was fun. Just, you know, meeting, hanging out. Are you going to the Cleveland National?
I'm trying to make it work at the moment. I'm not a 100% yes, but I'm a lot closer than the last time that I was asked on a video. So I'm trying to make it work, and I'd love to be able to meet up with you and everybody else again in Cleveland. So that would be great. There's no such thing as a bad National. And like you said, hanging out in Chicago, getting to meet you for the first time, a lot of other great people. It was an absolute blast. And Chicago's really built for the National. Like, it's just perfect with all the hotels and restaurants and everything that are just in such a close proximity to the convention center. So that was really nice.
I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it this year either. I'm kind of to be determined. It's going to be a last minute type decision, but it's not for sure that I'll be going to this one. But that was fun. I never thought I'd be able to go every year like some of these guys do at this point in my life. So I was just happy to go to that one, and we'll see about this year. But I would say I'm probably like 70% 70-30, not going to be able to make it. But, you know, I'll be watching if I can't go either way on YouTube.
No, definitely.
All right. So now natural evolution of this show. You're a champion. Congratulations, Dom. You're a 3-3 champion. But it keeps going. You know, so you got, I don't know, maybe we'll have a platinum edition at some point. Oh, man. But you got three more. You got three more cards that you sent me. Mm-hmm. So I got to, let me pull these up. These are three of the next ones on your, you know, the want list never ends, man. We pick
it
up
never
three
does.
And then there's a new three. So that's what's great. All right. I got the old card ladder machine pulled up here. So let me pull up, let's do a little sales history on the first one, which is a 1949 Bowman George Kell. So let me see if I can find one that we can look at here. See if one sold recently. All right, let's pull this one up. All right, it looks like a nice one. 3.5 that recently sold from SGC, sold back in, a couple days ago, February 21st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty nice example of it. And I'm at the point with my post-war Hall of Fame rookie card collecting where there's only about five left that I would call affordable cards, where I can maybe get a copy somewhere in like the $100 to $200 range. And then everything else from there is in well over $200. All the big iconic rookie cards that you can think of, I don't own most of those. But the George Kell, to me, it's in that iconic 49 Bowman set. People love the colors. The other four cards that I'm looking at that are affordable, three are in the 48 Bowman set, which I love, but aren't quite as desirable. And then the other one is the 64 Topps Necro, which is a two-player card. Nice card. I can pick that up most times. But the George Kell, I think just because of the set it's in, kind of like the 54 Topps Al Kaline, I think it's the one that's most likely to get more expensive than it currently is over time. So it's the one out of those five that I'm prioritizing at the moment looking for. And George Kell, he's not one of those inner circle Hall of Fame guys, but the red backgrounds on cards just really seem to pop. And that being his rookie card, it's definitely higher on my list than people would typically have it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. George Kell's not a guy I know a ton about. I've heard the name, you know, I just looking at the card, it's a beautiful card. But yeah, without doing Wikipedia, I couldn't tell you too much about him. So yeah, it's interesting. So he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, Hall of
Famer. Okay, all right. I know a lot of guys are like, you don't know George Kell, screaming. But my knowledge on baseball with going back this far is a lot of it is, you know, kind of not inner circle Hall of Famers and then like Al Kaline types. I know a lot about those guys, but maybe this guy would, George Kell would be like a step below as far as notoriety. From even below like a Kaline or Harmon Killebrew, that's kind of knowledge gets a little less once we get further down with those guys, you know?
Yeah. He played with the Red Sox towards the end of his career too. So he's got a few Red Sox cards. I know you're a Red Sox fan. So something to keep in mind possibly for the future.
Yeah.
With George.
There you go, man. You're going to spend more of my money with the enlightening me here. That's sweet. Beauty. Yeah. That's a beauty card. And not going to break the bank, so to speak, because it looks like, you know, this one here sold for, let's see, $176, probably got a good deal on that one, I would think. But, we're not talking about a $500 card, probably, I would think.
No, not unless I'm trying to get crazy high grade George Kell example, which I'm not.
So you'll be able to get that baby at some point.
Yeah, that's kind of the hope is like I'm trying to get cards that are reasonably in the range of outcomes. That's
right, now this one might be a little tougher. The 1954. Yeah, this one's tougher. Dan D. Monty Irvin. So let's pull that one baby in here. Do another SGC.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, look at that. What an awesome card.
It's a fantastic looking card, man. And the Dan D. potato chip cards were distributed in the bags of potato chips. So a lot of them have grease stains and different things on them. I absolutely love that. I don't want a clean one. I'm okay with it being beat up and having those things. But the one thing about the Dandy potato chip set, the Mickey Mantle is very famous. There's a lot of Cleveland players because it's an Ohio-based company. Most of the cards in the set are just basic headshots. And I love headshot cards. Two of the three cards from my last 3-3 were headshot cards. But this card, just with the pose, him in his batting stance with the bleachers behind him, is just different compared to the majority of the cards in that set. And I'm a big fan of Monty Irvin. So if I'm going to get a card for my collection from the Dandy set, this is the one that I've kind of known I'm going to go after. So I love this card a lot.
So would you, if someone offered you this card for $250, would you think that's a good deal that someone got on eBay fixed price back February 7th?
Yeah, that seems about the going rate when you get into those mid grades. I'm hoping that I can get one. Like you saw, I got a PSA copy, a SGC copy, and a raw copy for my three cards from the last 3 and 3. I don't really care what the grade or holder is too much. So I'm hoping that I can get one in like the 1 to 2, if it's really nice, maybe 250 range. That'd probably be towards the top of what I'd want to spend on mine. But just one that has decent centering and looks like it came out of a bag of potato chips. Cause there are some high grade Dandies out there that almost look fake because right. They don't have the stains and color and everything that you would typically expect from those cards.
Yeah. Like for me, this would be perfect because it's, you know, nicely centered, got some nice eye appeal, but it's not perfect. So it kind of tells the story of the card. Like I'm the same way. I don't want a version of this type of card where it's like, you know, real white and looks perfect. Like, no way, man. I want a card that looks like it was in with potato chips because that's what they were. But exactly. You get like this one here where it's nice eye appeal on it. I've been looking at the Mickey Mantle one, which, oh man, you know, number one, it's an awesome card. Mm-hmm. Dave Blue Jacket 66 sent me, there was one that was in a Heritage auction at the beginning of this year. And he, you know, sent me the information on it just because he knows that I'm going down that route a little bit now with Mantle. And man, that card with like 20 days left, it was already at like $3,000 or something, or like $2,500. And I'm like, well, I'm out. You know, I know this card's expensive, but it didn't go for that much more. I think it ended up closing around $4,000 or something like that. But yeah, the Mantle gets very, very pricey. And, but that would be a Mantle in the Dandy would be a card I'd love to have someday.
Yeah. That's a much bigger card than the Irvin. I'm looking forward to when you pick yours up. That's going to be really special.
Yeah, but geez, I don't think I can buy cards from Heritage, man. I don't know what they're doing, but the prices on Heritage are insane. Some of these cards go for.
Oh, definitely. The auction houses, it's a very, very competitive.
I want to do a video on that because I got some weird feelings on these auction houses. Like, again, why would that card, there was 20 days left and it was already at $3,000. I know people want to get their bids in and stuff, but I don't know. Do you think there's any funny business going on with some of these auctions that like they get that many bids up to close to where it's going to sell at with 20 days left?
With just the sheer amount of items that get posted, like there always has to be statistically a chance for that stuff. Yeah. But I do think that a lot of it is you're going to hyper-focused higher-end collectors that some exclusively spend their money on these auction houses, and they're just throwing the money around for the things that they want, and they don't really care about comps and different things that are going on. There could be some of that going on, but I also think it's just an element of that environment.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, awesome card. I can't wait till you get that one. So the last one, the third one, in true Dom fashion, a card I've never heard of. I've heard of the player, awesome player, but we got the 1963 French Bauer, Frank Robinson. Let me see if I can find one of these. All right. Looks like one sold. Wow. This is the last sale. Is this it right here?
I'm mad I missed that one.
This one sold. The last one that sold, at least that Card Ladder has tracked, was in 2021. So like over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that. Tell me about this one. I've never seen it and never heard of it.
Yeah, so this is an Ohio-based dairy distributor, French Bauer, and they did a Cincinnati Red set, 32 different milk caps that would be part of the milk jug, and it had all the players on the team. Frank Robinson being, in my opinion, the biggest name. After Yastrzemski, he's my most collected player. And there's Vada Pinson in the set, and there's also a Pete Rose 1963 rookie card in this French Bauer milk set that is very pricey. So these, because they were part of the milk, many of them got thrown out. The Robinson PSA pop is, I believe, 21. And right now there's one, which I believe is the same six on eBay for, I believe they're asking for like 350 or 360. And like you said, this one sold a couple years ago for a lot less than that. So I'm hoping that I can find either the guy who has this six on eBay to drop the price significantly from holding it for so long, or one of the cards that is graded lower than a six, because I don't really need a six, for a lesser price than that. I'm hoping to spend in like the $100 to $300 range for one, as opposed to pushing $400, $500. But they're really neat. They're really hard to find, and it's just so cool, like there's milk caps from the Cincinnati Reds. Like we talk about all these different ice cream lids and cards that were in bags of potato chips or in cereal boxes, but like one that was a milk cap, like that's such a revolutionary idea in my opinion. And I'm mad they only did them 1 year.
Sorry, man, I was zoned out just staring at this thing. I'm like, oh, it's cool to see something you've never seen before. I've never, like, you sent me this list earlier today. I hadn't looked any of them up yet. I figured I'd just look them up live. So this is cool, man. This is like a scratch off card version all over again. But there's no mantle. That's okay. I could see myself going after the Vada Pinson, or obviously I would love to have a Frank Robinson, but I would never go after this before you get yours. So
no, that's a little friendly competition. Doesn't hurt nobody. So if we look after the Frank Robinsons, that's okay. It's not going to be the next card that I pick up.
Cool, man. That is really awesome. Yeah. Only one year too. That's the other. Wow. Like you said, that makes it even more special that there's only 1 year of these. Wow.
Yeah, definitely. And I heard of these before, but I had never actually seen them in person until the Chicago National last summer. So that was the first time I got to see a few of these in the flesh. And I immediately was just like, the Frank Robinson was on my list, but it moved way up my list after seeing them in person.
And I got to say, the PSA holder on that looks pretty cool. Like, do they use those for coins too? Is that what?
Yeah. So that's like the coin holder one. There are a couple, I believe, that are in card holders as well. But yeah, that one's in the coin holder.
Awesome. Dude, Dom, man, you're good at this show, man. You're good at 3 and 3. Really awesome cards you picked up, and then three awesome new ones that I'll look forward to you picking up in the future. Let's see, before we go, any last thoughts before we sign off here? We said we were going to go about a half hour and we're at 29 minutes. So
I know we're right down to the wire. Yeah, first off, I just appreciate you having me on again. This is one of my favorite series in all of YouTube. I've watched every single episode. They're really entertaining, seeing people, what they love in their collection, what they're going to pick up. Simple, but like it allows people to kind of unfold into different niches and stories and all different great things. So I just hope you just keep this going. I'm glad that you have this kind of new element of it, of being able to bring people back that have completed their 3 and 3 to like the next one as well. But there's also so many amazing collectors out there that I would love to see do a 3 and 3 in the future on here. And you know, it's something where my big goal for 2024 is to actually pick up a Willie Mays autograph. So the three cards that I showed today, while they're up on my card list, they're not like the next big purchase I expect to be making. So you never know when you're going to pick this stuff up, but I try to come into this with stuff that is attainable for me in a reasonable amount of time, not something that like is going to frustrate me that I can't afford or can't find. And you know, 3 and 3.
Well, let me get you on solo with that. There we go. If I was really good, I would put like a crown on you right there as a champion. But I think we're just going to have to imagine it. But that's a 3 and 3 champion right there, folks. And I think there's, like I said, there's probably others who have done it. So if you are watching this and you've been on 3 and 3 and you've picked up your three wants, reach out to me and we'll do one of these champions editions. I still want to do new people that haven't ever done a 3 and 3. So you know, and I don't, as you've seen, I don't put out a ton of these anymore. So, I'll try to do one every couple weeks if I can now moving forward. I think that's, I always have fun with these. It's just a matter of time. So, happy we were able to fit this one in. And if you are not subscribed to Staven Sports Cards, I would highly recommend it. I also want you to check out his podcast because baseball season's starting up, spring training's going. Dom, if you ever are looking for a guest for the podcast at some point, to rant about the Red Sox, feel free to hit me up and I'd be happy to come on there. I don't want to show you, turn your show negative though. That's the only thing. If I do come on, I'm probably going to have some negative takes, just so you know.
No, I appreciate that. And I am looking into having more guests this season than I did last year. Now that I kind of have the whole video and production side of things down on that front. But it's going to be something where it's probably going to turn negative pretty fast with the Red Sox season with the way that it's currently going. So I assume that whoever I have on talking Red Sox is going to come up and it's not going to be positive. I won't mince words, but I don't want it to also derail all the other great things that are going on because it's baseball season. There's 29 other teams that have other great things going on. So I'm not going to try to tank it down with just my frustration with my own team, but I'll definitely keep you hosted on that.
All right. And lastly, I do want to say it is baseball. So there is it's not a high possibility, but there's a possibility in July, the Red Sox are in first place at the All-Star break. And it's like, what happened? We thought they're going to be terrible this year. Anything can happen in baseball. So I don't want to say the Red Sox have no shot. They don't look good on paper, but this isn't NBA or any of these sports that you can kind of tell who's going to be. Baseball, you never know. So, hey, there's always a chance the Red Sox could compete this year, but we're just not happy with what the ownership is doing. But that doesn't mean the team itself couldn't compete. They certainly can. So I want to throw out a positive note on that too.
No, definitely that there's a few teams that you kind of know don't have much of a chance, but for the vast majority of teams, depending on health and overperformance, there are things that can happen. It's just putting your team in a position where you are likely to be successful versus best case scenario, you're successful. Yeah. But it'll be a lot of fun. And if for those of you that love following the current game or those of you that are vintage fans that like to hear about the stories and players of yesterday, definitely go check out my podcast, Solo Shot Sports, on YouTube and wherever you find podcast audio-wise as well.
All right, Dom. Well, this YouTube community and the hobby in general is lucky to have someone like you in it. I've told you that before, and I'm saying it again now. So thank you, Dom, for taking the time to come back on here, and I'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks again.
Likewise, my friend. Peace.